Hello and welcome back to this
bonus.
Episode of TF. It is
in your ears.
It is Riley. Ew.
Oh, that's where
directly
we are.
Into your ears.
That's right.
That's unpleasant.
Podcast in my ear, Daddy.
No, shut the fuck. No. I'm gonna get a water bottle. And I'm gonna spritz you with it.
The only podcast that won't fund you.
It is Riley, Milo, and Alice.
Yo.
And we are very delighted to be joined by, I'd say, in this case, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, both two-time returning champions, Dan Beckner and Matt Lipchansky. Dan and Matt, welcome to the TF Gold Plus Lounge.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah.
It's nice in here.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Help yourself to free cereals, croissants, and prepackaged cookies.
Unlimited toilet paper.
The chairs recline, not all the way, but a little bit. Yeah.
And you get a discount. You get discounts at the bar. Well, only
the TF Premium Economy Lounge.
Basically, if you come on back on twice, that's Premium Economy, which is like discounted lounge access.
It's not quite TF business, but it's getting there.
No.
I can see the Coca Colas that you're drinking, and I would like one, but I can't reach it.
It's a shame we can't pass you on.
Look, Matt, rack up Patrick Wyman numbers if you want us to somehow send you a Coca-Cola through the internet.
Matt comes back on a third time and they're just magically jacked. Yeah. Just like huge.
That's what happens. Yeah.
That's right. That is what happens. But no, so we are very pleased to have Dan and Matt here because we are going to spend an hour talking about non-fungible tokens, and we're finally doing an episode that is focusing on the blockchain, which we haven't really done.
These aren't fungible tokens. Yeah.
These are nothing like the tokens you
have. I hate
it
when shit is fungible.
You know what fungible means, Milo.
Nobody
knows
what fungible
means. I used to go out with a girl
means.
Whose surname was Funge, so I presume it's relevant.
That's a very English.
Excuse me?
Sorry. Excuse me?
She's the only English person I've ever met with that surname. That's what everyone used to say whenever she was like, that's my name. And they'd be like, what? I remember actually, I met her at, we were at sixth form college together. And I remember our philosophy teacher, who was like a really nice guy, one day being like, your name, is it like Funge or Funge? And she was just like, yeah, it's Funge.
From the country that brought you Scunthorpe.
I might change it. If my name was so British as that, I might change it.
She got away with it because she was really hot.
Mm.
It was like that kind
Congratulations,
of...
Congratulations, Milo.
Look, we're not... She's, you know, she lives in Australia now.
Uh-huh.
She's like, living with a doctor. It's a, you know, it's a...
Is your name Funge, is it?
I think... Oh, so you played Knifey Funge.
Milo, you said you had a fun anecdote.
So I went out... Friend of the show, Phoebe Roy, was here earlier recording another podcast, and I was letting her out and also into the toilet because I'm a weird toilet guy, but because I was getting her past the turfs that man the toilet. In our building, you have to fob into the toilet. So I'm like escorting Phoebe to the toilet. There were these two Russian guys in the like atrium.
So many Russians.
Yeah. And they're like standing there, like one of the, yeah, anyway, they're like chatting away, like very like Russian guys in that they're like, they're 35, but they also look like 17, like that kind of vibe. And then they're kind of like, they're sort of like, can you help me? I must, the door open, please.
They asked me the same thing.
Yeah. And they're obviously like hammered.
That was the fucking GRU.
Now, please touch this doorknob.
Could you please get a prints on this umbrella?
Would you like some tea? And so these guys are having, so I'm just like, oh, I'll just fuck with them a bit. So I open the door and I'm like, "Darebiat, ничего страшного." And then they're like, "Oh, weird!" And then they immediately like pull me into a hug
pull me into the bathroom.
And they're like, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, I'm from London. Like, we're having, Phoebe's just standing there. We're having this conversation in Russian. They're like, no, but where are you from? And I'm like, no, I'm from London. I lived in Moscow. They're like, yes, but where are your parents from? I'm like, they're also from London. They're like, so how is it that you know that? And then one of them goes like, no, this guy is not, he's not Anglican. And I know him from somewhere. I recognize him. He's an actor. And I'm like, I'm not an actor. I was like, I was on a TV show on Russian TV called Stand Up. I was a stand-up comedian. And he's like, да, блядь! It's Sean! And then he's like, we're taking a fucking selfie.
So I get like pulled into like, in that remote Russian police station.
Yeah, exactly. So they get pulled in. I'm having a selfie with these two sweaty Russian guys, who one of whom is from Belarus, and then a woman comes out and then they're like, do you know who this is? And then I'm like, I really have to go. They're like, do you know?
Meanwhile,
who this
poor
is?
Phoebe is just there, like,
yeah.
I was just trying to get in the bathroom.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I have to go because I have a podcast recording, and they're like, what the fuck does this mean? You will drink with us? And I'm like, no, I actually have to go. I have a podcast here. And he's like, what was he? He was trying to get me to give him my number, and I'm like, I'm not giving you my number. And then I'm like, you can add me on Instagram if you want. And he's like, I don't have Instagram. And then I started doing my Lukashenko impression, and I was like, yes, in Belarus there is no Instagram, much like there is no coronavirus. And he's like, there's no need for that.
Well, you badly offended a Belarusian man outside the studio.
That's right. That's what happened.
I love the idea that Russian is some forbidden language, that there's no way you could possibly learn it.
No.
Like, it's not spoken by hundreds of millions
of
people.
They are kind of right. Like, I'm basically the only guy who ever has.
So, but look, before we get into talking about NFTs and stuff, I do want to bring up one news item that, Alice, you've shared. Which is, shortage of bouncers could stop clubs reopening in Britain.
One last mission. Dave Courtney is fly fishing in Montana when the helicopter lands next to the river.
I said I'd never contact another geezer again, but here I am. Yeah. Please hold into action.
Please, Mr. Courtney.
Every time.
Please, Mr. Courtney, we need you to do something illegal. Please, Mr. Courtney. I've not heard that word in years. Yeah.
Please, Mr. Courtney, it's ladies' night. Yeah, please. Waltham So Dog Track is in dire straits.
We were just talking about before the show how we need more big guys everywhere.
Yeah.
Saying that we should just have more big buff men just walking around doing more kinds of things.
Because our two jobs, our two professions, you don't see a lot of big guys being cartoonists or indie rock musicians or, you know.
Dan, thank you for doing up my job for me, which I neglected to do, which is introduce what you guys do.
what is Ben Garrison but a guy who wants to see more big guys in cartoons?
That guy loves big guys.
Oh, he loves a big guy.
He loves jack dudes.
Yeah. Mm. And who would?
Well, he loves one jack dude, right. And his name is Donald Trump. The
world's most jack dude. So apparently, basically, like, every bouncer in London and or in the UK even has been like, well,
infected with the coronavirus merely for getting, like, licking everyone around them.
Well, a lot of them have just, like, stopped working in this sector.
bouncers, we don't get no respect anymore. On account of the clubs not being open.
Also, I remember when bouncers were odd.
Here's the thing. From the 1st of April, so from the new tax year, security staff must have first aid qualifications and training related to stopping terrorism.
People more.
They have to be counter-terrorists.
Oh, God.
Counter-terrorist bouncers is an amazing bit.
Sorry. You can't bring an IED in, eh?
We got one final weapon. ISIS. A guy with like a fucking kitchen knife on Tower Bridge, and there's a guy with a fucking armband who looks like he's been doing anabolic steroids all morning, who's just like, yeah, leave it out, mate. Come on, go home, son. You're gonna have a terrible night if you carry on like that. Go get a kebab, sort yourself out, get a cab.
You're not getting in here with that fucking ISIS Hezbollah t-shirt. There's no way you're getting it. Not a chance. You're not on the fucking list.
No sports jerseys, no Hezbollah t-shirts.
I told Jeremy Corbyn the same thing.
This is Tiger Piccadilly, mate. No sports jerseys, no Hezbollah.
That's right.
Your bouncer always goes a little bit Michael Caine, Riley.
Now, you're not coming in here unless you pay attention to the rules. All right.
Oh, God. Here's the thing. Michael Kill, chief executive of the Knights.
No fucking way.
Michael Kill. That's so cool.
Are we sure it's a good idea to be making fun of this guy?
No, it's not.
Michael Kill.
A victim of nominative determinism. Yeah.
Michael Kill, chief executive of the Nighttime Industries Association.
What? The Nighttime Industries?
The fucking legitimate businessman social club head, Mike Kill.
Nighttime Industries Association? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
It sounds
well,
like
there's
vampires.
A bunch of this stuff in London. Like, London also has a night czar who's supposed to, like,
join me, Mr. Dapper.
Yeah, so the Night Czar is supposed to, like, look out for the interests of, like, clubs and stuff,
but
he hasn't really done a very good job of it.
You think it sucks, but then they have Night Lenin, too, which is pretty cool.
So we rely heavily on our store supervisors to keep staff and customers safe.
Door supervisors? I'm checking that this door's not getting out of hand.
Yeah, with the additional responsibility of public health, it's even more important that we remove barriers to ensure that we are able to fill the
Bouncers
resource requirement.
Hate removing barriers. That's the opposite of their thing.
They put barriers
remove
up.
Remove barriers and replace them with this little velvet rope. It's much nicer.
This will need a government intervention to ensure that the industry has the ability to provide enough staff. While the training is welcome, it's not timely given the current economic situation
across
most of the sector.
We've got to fucking bail out the bouncers.
Yeah, we have to like draft bouncers.
Everyone has to do 2 years in the bouncing corps.
It's the most British profession because it is showing people where the door is.
That's true. Yeah, so, don't like it. That's
I don't like it.
I don't like it. It's a door.
It's a door.
Yeah. There's a door. You're getting through there.
Yeah.
There's the door. Don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that, anyway, I thought that was completely delightful. Just that, like, we've run out of, like, hard, wide men who can just stand in front of doors.
Yeah, and we've met a new guy, Mike Kill.
Yeah, Michael Kill.
That's the modern condition. There aren't enough hard men anymore.
You changed it from murder.
Time was, if you ran out of bouncers, you just get the bin men to do it. But the bin men, now, they've gone soft. They can't throw anyone out. They're just they're woke now, the bin men.
Yeah. So,
that's
okay.
The problem. I think Keir Starmer should have to become a bouncer to fill in.
Well, hey, you know what? He's here right now.
Fuck off. You can't come in. I welcome your desire to enter the club, but frankly, in that Hezbollah t-shirt, you can't come in.
Yeah, we drew a line under Jeremy Corbyn's leadership. You cannot come in your Hezbollah t-shirt.
This nightclub takes a firm stance against anti-Semitism.
So, look, they're all over the news. People can't stop talking about them. And because they're all over the news, I think because they're totally incomprehensible and stupid to most people.
We already did the bouncers bit.
Yeah, and they're totally incomprehensible because they are civilization-endingly stupid. We are going to talk
That's
about...
That's a bit harsh about bouncers.
Yes, that is. We're talking about NFTs. So, look, Matt and Dan, as working artists in various media, whether the comic strip or the guitar riff, can you just quickly say,
it's like doing your New York economist bit.
Beautiful opening there, right?
It's called art, and your child might be doing it right now. Mm.
They're calling it comic books.
What about the podcast, Ruth?
That's right. But how do you think you might be helped by a coal generator that allows you to get paid in made up money?
Oh, I guess I'll go first. Sorry, I was looking at Allison over a photo of Michael Kill.
Yeah, I got distracted by the photo of Michael Kill as well.
Oh my lord. Anyways.
He looks like a pervert. I'm just gonna say
he looks like
that.
A guy named Michael Kill. I just sorry.
I've totally derailed this bit of the podcast simply by deploying, like the apple with Callisti written on it, a photo of Michael Kill into the Zencaster chat.
Stop saying I look like a pedo, because actually my name is short for Michael Kill Nonces. So
I will set you guys up again.
Okay.
So look, how do you think that ridiculous cryptocurrency solution could in fact help you guys to become
Milo, did you just see the photo of Michael Kill?
Yes, that's right. I'm gonna do it a third time.
Leave it in.
The people need to know that we're all looking at a photo of Michael Kill right now.
Yeah, Michael Kill, he's a funny looking man, and that's gonna be the end of
it. You gotta look up a picture of Mickey Kill.
Mickey Kill.
Mickey Death.
I regret.
It was actually Murderovich when they came over from Belarus. Hey.
Okay, are we done?
No.
What a stupid question.
No, we just found a guy and we're just going to do the podcast about him now instead. I'm on his LinkedIn, man.
Endorsements, being hard. Fucking jacking geezer's hat. Not being a fucking melt. Showing geezer's door.
Flattening a nose. No.
That's right, yeah. Nose flattening. I had a nose job to flatten my nose.
This isn't all in. I'm leaving.
Are you okay?
Okay.
We could just change the topic to Dan and Matt come on and we talk about Michael Kill.
No, this is exactly what you should have expected, you the listener. If you thought, oh, Trash Future are finally going to do an episode about NFTs. We're going to learn what an NFT is. No, you're not. You're going to learn what the head of Bouncing in London is called, and you're going to learn what he looks like.
Yeah,
the head of the Midnight
Society.
We're
giving NFTs exactly the level of respect they deserve.
You know what we could do? We could make Michael Kill's face the episode art for this episode.
We could sell it as an NFT. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we could.
Oh, nice. We could. Nice.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? I'll say this. As artists in various media, how much do you think you're going to be helped by NFTs between a scale of solve all your problems to make you wealthy beyond your wildest dreams?
Well, being wealthy beyond my wildest dreams would solve a lot of my problems because I'm a regular person with a regular life and almost all my problems are material except for my horrible brain and body. But like, I think the argument that a lot of, as someone who's been making digital art for my whole life, basically, I think the big draw for NFTs for a lot of digital artists is like all your whole life is just your art being stolen, basically, which is the nature of digital art. And it's like, there's no way to monetize it good. You can put out a webcomic collection, you could whatever, but like you could sell prints, which is how everyone else makes their money, t-shirts, whatever. But I think there's a real draw to like, oh, you can make a piece of digital art and sell like a piece of fine art, this thing that we've been basically kept out of being able to do. So like, yeah, you could change your name to Beeple and you can make $69 million being named Beeple, which is, I just want to say it again, Beeple. But like, you know, yeah, it's just right.
The Beeple Michael Kill dichotomy.
You know, I think it's just a real sort of like, it's a get rich quick scheme. So the sort of draw is to get rich quickly, but it's just like, it's an opportunity that most digital artists don't have, is to get rich off something you draw on a computer. It's hard to get rich that way.
Yeah. And what's, unless it's furry porn.
What's very in interesting. Case, it's very, what's very interesting as well, though, is that, and we'll get into sort of how this works, but already NFTs having been, they've been around for ever since the Ethereum blockchain has been around, but they've sort of been in the public consciousness for like the last sort of month and a half, I would say.
Yeah.
In that time, there's already been a rash of art thefts based on NFTs because in order to make, if I wanted to make an NFT, Matt, of one of your comics, all I would need to do is take a screenshot of it and then put a link to that screenshot on the Ethereum blockchain, and then it's my NFT.
Well, it's your URL of a screenshot of my comic that you can sell.
Indeed.
Yeah,
and then I can sell that, and that's fine, which is awesome. Yeah, and definitely has not already been abused.
The T in the NFT, you're not buying the art; you're buying the little gallery sign that goes next to the art that says, "You know, this was generously donated by the Too Much Money Foundation."
Well, my point is like, when has over commodification of something gone wrong?
Never.
So,
and I've got a whole collection of tulips that'll prove that. They're sitting in a warehouse, I presume, in excellent condition.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Gonna sell them off in a few years when they're fully ripe.
That points to another piece of paper that has a drawing of a tulip on it.
They have been aging perfectly since the 18th century.
That's you know, right. If you did an NFT of a tulip, we would all have to concede, oh, that is quite clever. But then also, you would be killing the planet. Can we get to the killing the planet part? Because that's the major problem with this. I think.
We will, but I want to ask. Now, Dan, you
an NFT of a tulip that will actually kill more tulips than if you just gave someone a tulip you'd picked.
That's right. Dan, we've talked about this a little bit before, but as a musician, How will NFTs revolutionize your life for the better?
The only way I can think of is that it will distract the managerial class for 6 to 8 months so they don't come up with any worse ideas. And they'll just kind of circle around NFTs until they forget about it and move on to something else.
Oh, the jingling keys model.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. My musical promoter, Michael Kill, has been distracted by the Ethereum blockchain.
So,
Michael Kill, the full name of Killer Mike.
Michael Kill tried to put my band on tour first of seven with Kings of Leon on a France-only stadium tour, and we distracted him with these NFTs.
So, have we tried mining bouncers on the blockchain?
Finally.
That's a good idea. You could get a sign that points to a specific bouncer.
Yeah. Do not mess with. So look, I think it's also, we can say, what is an NFT, just in case you don't know. It is basically a smart contract that exists on the Ethereum blockchain. And that basically, it's just a token, which is a line of sort of encrypted, it's an encrypted line of code. And what it basically says is that this person has minted this token. So it's just like a thing that says, yes, this person owns this. This is what it points to. This is who bought it, in what order, for how much. And that's it.
Yeah, it's the fucking thing off of the peristyle of a piece of Roman architecture.
and quite frequently, what will then be encrypted as well is a link to a spot on a server where a GIF of a farting butt or a Abraham Lincoln spanking Donald Trump, which is an element of that thing that sold for $69 million, was a drawing of Abraham Lincoln spanking a baby Donald Trump.
Everything you zoom in on that thing is like the worst, either the worst political art you've ever seen or something that is just insanely racist, which I love.
Awesome. And the thing that you're bidding on with your Ethereum is not the actual work of art, like we said, but just the title to a thing that points to a server. It's extraordinarily abstracted.
Yeah, it's just tokens again, right? Yeah. It's like nothing. I mean, they literally token is in the name, mm-hmm. but it's like you're not actually buying anything at all.
And the reason it's non-fungible is that unlike a cryptocurrency, which is a fungible token.
It's not my girlfriend from sixth form.
That's right. Not Milo's girlfriend from sixth form and also not a cryptocurrency. Because like a $20 bill, you can switch for a $20 bill or four fives and it's all the same. There is nothing to distinguish them from one another. And just like an Ethereum or an Ethereum coin or a Bitcoin, there's nothing to distinguish them from none another. They're tokens, but they're completely interchangeable. And so a non-fungible token is basically like, no, this is not interchangeable with anything else. It is a commodity. It is a unique commodity rather than like just a thing you can switch.
Yeah, which is why they get so mad when you take a screenshot of the thing.
Indeed. In fact, it is fungible.
Yeah, it's but they don't want it, you yeah. to.
Yeah. Yeah, we asked you not to funge it.
We would prefer that this would be a non-fungible token.
Yeah.
Please do not
funge this.
Bouncer at the door of the server farm saying, please do not funge these.
There's no funging in here, all right, mate? if I see you funging again, Michael Kill will have something to say about that.
So, also,
and I tell you what, he's not a very nice bloke.
And Alice, we're going to get into what you want to talk about, which is how does blockchain actually work?
My name for him is Michael Mame.
Yeah. My name's just Michael Miff, and I'm just going to slightly annoy you till you fuck off.
He's
why
the
does he have to be called
council?
That? my colleague, Michael Irritation.
So this
Michael
is
Michael Arf Nelson, Michael removed from the premises.
Yeah, we're all a family.
Up. Yeah,
we're a family. You've got our eye on all of us.
Michael's
for a full
the
service
family
operation.
Yeah. So I'm Oi Michael, no drinks on the street.
So basically, right, how blockchain actually works is Michael destroy the environment. And that's because
the least popular bouncer.
That's because
the black sheep of the family is Michael Hezbollah. Just
that's because basically
this is now a Michael Fry bit. Hello, right. I'm Michael Hezbollah. I'm the radical Islamic Michael Fry.
So all cryptocurrencies exist to do the same thing, which is solve the double spend problem. Which is if I have a dollar or a Bitcoin or whatever, I have to only be able to spend it one time. Right. So dollars work around that by being like, you have a $1 bill. It has a serial number. You can't photocopy it and spend it again. because like there are ways to prevent that from happening. Now, if you're really good, you can.
Yeah.
But the whole system is designed to keep that from happening.
I'll just add one on a number. Yeah. That's why they call me Mark All Numbers. So, no one's ever thought of that.
And so, and that's based
I've,
on
I've just
like
introduced Michael Kill as a mind virus.
It's gonna kill all of us. It's gonna Michael infect.
It's the Michael blockchain. They all exist on the-
I want a Bruce Springsteen, like Nebraska era Bruce Springsteen song, about two brothers, Michael Kill and Michael Numbers. One is a forger and one is law enforcement.
Oh, nice.
So basically, right, and how that works, how you solve the double spend problem with just like a normal currency is that there is one trusted organization that issues the currency and keeps track of it and has policies about how much there is and who gets it and so on.
Yeah, you have to invent a central bank.
Yeah, you have to invent a central bank.
Which obviously those are bad because that's statism and that's like the road to serfdom. So instead of a central bank, what if instead of Michael Bank, we had Michael has a server farm somewhere?
Yeah.
Some people, they like having a central bank, but we're just some guys of Asian wives. So what we're good though.
Michael basically, Cyber what happens, Gold Gulch, basically. Yeah.
So what happens is, right, and it is that there is this, is that it works with a distributed ledger where there are a bunch of nodes, and every single node has a copy of all the transactions. And in order to mine a new coin of the currency, so to generate a new coin of the currency, which can exist up to a limit of 21 million in the case of Bitcoin, what happens is you have to do a proof of work. And all of these nodes are all competing to do that by solving what's called a hashing algorithm. So what you do is you take the destination wallet, the origin wallet, the destination wallet, the identity of the coins, the amount of coins, and you hash that. And when you hash something, it's a cryptographic algorithm, which is where you turn any amount of letters or numbers into a 16-character string code.
Yeah, and they're all just brute forcing that.
Yeah,
but like the crucial thing is that this doesn't do any useful work.
It just
produces solved hashes, right? There are tasks that would benefit from a mass distribution of computational power.
In fact, we're
not doing any of those.
No, some of you might remember that before cryptocurrency got invented, there was something called folding at home, which is what you could help search
radio telescope results.
You could devote your computing power to like civilizational projects that it was hard to get funding for, whatever. You could do that. And what we have now is we have these essentially producing these solved hashing algorithms. So how it works is, a number of transactions are a block, and then all of those transactions have to be hashed, and then your goal to, in order to sort of verify the block, is you have to figure out what you have to do to the combination of all those numbers. So do you add one to it? Do you add two to it? Etc. To turn it into a solved hash that has a certain number of zeros at the end, an arbitrary and very difficult thing to do. And the more Bitcoin gets valuable, the more zeros you have to have. So like it's almost cryptographically impossible to try to like guess what would hash out to have five zeros.
The crucial word there is almost.
Oh yeah. So what you can do is you start from one. Does one do it? No. Does two do it? No. Does three do it? No. And then you have like, I don't know, a trillion microprocessors all lined up, all basically trying to guess the answer to this math problem, because a hashing algorithm is very, very hard to solve, but very, very easy to verify.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so, like math that's hard, easy to do one way and hard to do the other, like square root.
It's great though, right? Because what we've done is we've invented the like great leap forward backyard pig iron furnace, but for supercomputers. Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's communism, but worse.
Yeah, what if the People's Republic of China, but shit expensive? No, what we've done genuinely is we've created a vast amount of expertise in building supercomputers in your backyard that we use in order to produce nothing.
At least when I was like in college, the supercomputer you built in your backyard like downloaded a Limp Bizkit album and we called it BitTorrent and it was great. And now it doesn't exist anymore, really.
Yeah. Limpbizkit.exe.
Yeah.
It's now doing something way worse.
Yeah.
And so basically, right, the end of this story is that the reason that they're trying to do this is that once you solve the thing, you get the coin, everyone checks it, and then that becomes the history. That is now solved and everyone agrees on it. And the whole reason that you need this much brute force computational strength to pull this off is because electric data doesn't want to be scarce. it's almost impossible to make it scarce because there is no difference between an original and a copy. The idea of an original and a copy doesn't exist. And so to enforce scarcity online, you're basically being like Superman pushing against the rotation of the earth to turn back
and it's,
time.
It's built into Bitcoin, right? That as each new Bitcoin is mined, each next one is slightly more difficult, as you say.
Yeah, because you used to be able to do it on your laptop because, you know, maybe the hashing algorithm only required, I don't know, 2 zeros.
You used to be able to surreptitiously install a Bitcoin miner in someone's computer. Now, if you do that, you're going to need, like, a lot of computers, but also it's going to be noticeable because their computer's going to catch fire.
And I think that's the thing, right? And Bitcoin is like this, and Ethereum people will tell you, oh yeah, Ethereum is like this now, but at just around the corner, we're going to change from this thing called a proof of work system to a proof of stake system, which is basically like you have to put in $32,000 worth of Ethereum. Or no, sorry.
Oh, we've done central banking again. Oops.
Yep.
It turns out that this thing that we did to try and replace central banks is catastrophically bad at it. What we've done is we've invented central banks, but I'm the central bank now.
We've invented anarchist capitalism, baby.
It's that if you have 32 Ethereum, which is actually closer to $64,000, then you get to be a ledger checker and you have a chance of minting another Ethereum. And if you check the ledger wrong, they'll take away some of your Ethereum. And so that's the theory behind it, and I'm sure it will never be exploited.
Absolutely.
If you just put someone who's rich enough in charge, there won't be any problems. I don't see
a rich person wouldn't have any incentives to steal. They already have a lot of money.
Yeah, here at Ethereum, we actually believe in a philosopher king.
Ethereum said it to me. He knows all about
it. imposing scarcity on an... It's like trying to impose scarcity on an environment where the laws of nature are different. Like enforcing scarcity online, like it's like trying to fight gravity. Like you can do it, but it's gonna take a Chile amount of electricity.
The only electronic copy that becomes harder to produce every time is that picture of Nate that people try and own him with. It's like every time you try and mine a new one, the number of pixels reduces.
This, as we were talking about, the idea that like the hashing problem is getting harder to solve every time is where we get to this environmental issue. And the fact that it's just sort of so astonishing to me that essentially what we've done is tried to solve the issue of artists not being paid for their work fairly, which is a real and pressing issue, by basically inventing a kind of Beanie Baby for them to sell that also burns down the world's last remaining forest.
Yeah, and it's great, right? Because like, crypto people were always like, this will never happen, right? As stuff gets harder to produce, it's going to stop being economic and people are going to stop mining Bitcoin once you need a shipping container full of microprocessors to do it. They're just going to trade it like a normal currency and then we will have finally circumvented the tyranny of the central bank. And instead, no, it turns out you can just get a shipping container full of microprocessors.
Yeah. And there's a buy-in too. So it's not like it's some kind of liberatory force or, you know, like musicians or artists who are just starting out. It's not breaking whatever exploited system that exists right now.
Also, even for artists, I mean, this is probably true for musicians too, but definitely for visual artists like me, like the only people that are going to be able to benefit from this are people who are already established and already have work that is valued very high. So like, it's just inventing a new market to do the same old shit.
Yeah.
That also burns down the Amazon.
The good news is, right, that the crypto people have an answer for this sort of like increase in proof of work, even absent that we just move to proof of stake, right? Which is, it's definitely going to happen eventually. Eventually, it's going to become so uneconomic that like by the time that in order to mine a fraction of a Bitcoin, you and your friends have to seize Hoover Dam and divert its power for your own purposes. By that point, nobody's going to do it. I don't know about that one, man.
Also, on the proof of stake thing, there's the old saying about Brazil, which is Brazil is the future and it always will be. Proof of stake, same thing. They've been promising that they're going to bring that about for like 2 years.
Well, because also the thing, the assumption that it's going to be uneconomic to like mine a, you know, Bitcoin, it assumes that a Bitcoin won't be worth enough to make it economic. But the whole kind of principle is that it ends up worth more because of the amount of energy that it costs to produce. Juice. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
We hooked these two economic effects to each other and we didn't mean to.
Whoops. And also because crypto people are insane.
Yeah, also, that's also true. But I, you know,
I can imagine some kind of camp for labor where non-productive members of society go to generate this energy that we so drastically need to create this.
You sold some Sudokus kind of, that give us a gif of Nyan
Cat. Are you suggesting a gulag for Sudokus?
I'm giving away free Pelotons, but the catch is that they're all powering my Bitcoin mining rig.
That's just an episode of Charlie Brooker.
Oh, is it?
So the, just a Black
episode
Mirror
of Charlie Brooker.
That's just a Black Mirror episode.
I actually believe that it would be possible to convince like 90% of Silicon Valley and like venture capitalists to pay to go to a gulag where you give them challenges. You know, that you give them like little treats.
It's really authentic.
And rewards. And
it's like Burning Man, but you can't.
When you drink
go
out of a 10 mug, you get more electrolytes.
Yeah, that's right. There's more electrolytes. You're it's encouraged that you are silent.
I'm having potato soup every day. I'm digging coal. It's great for my back.
It's an intentional community.
Yeah, and I'm finally a part of something bigger than myself.
Yeah.
We could call it WeWork.
Yeah, that's right. WeToil. Yeah.
I think the strangest thing that I keep seeing other artists say is like when they're talking about NFTs, they'll be like, well, I'll get in when they solve the environmental thing.
Huh. Okay.
It's basically like, when they move to proof of stake, which they all, but I'm not going to say they won't, but they've been saying that they're just about to for a while. And the thing is like, look, I think blockchain in general, I'm not as skeptical about as I think a lot of like lefty people are. Mm. I think like, because if you build a small one, you can make it proof of stake. Like there are some that are that, but all the big ones aren't. None of the big ones are, and it's very difficult to change them. I don't think they will be changed anytime soon.
What you're doing is you're just issuing currency with extra steps, and the extra steps make it worse. Like, the only benefit to this is, like, the original foundational principle, which is a bunch of ANCAPs being like, I want to buy fucking drugs, guns, and child pornography, and I don't want the central bank to be able to control the issuance of their currency, so I'm going to make my own. You could do that with a printing press, so long as you can convince people to take the paper money that you make.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to bartering. It's like, I brought a big wheel of cheese. Can I have a gun?
Are we suggesting that we have to go back to valuing things according to their use value rather than their exchange value? Are we suggesting that maybe we should look at our world more in terms of CMC than MCM?
I'm simply suggesting that like what you tried to do as a like an ANCAP, as a libertarian, is to free us all from the shackles of fiat currency by applying math to it, but the math doesn't do anything, so that's just a fiat.
Now you're just doing math, nerd.
It's just a fiat that is tied to like an insane production schedule.
What about fiat currency, and we're just exchanging fiats?
Fiat 500 for a gun.
Yeah. That's right. How much computing power does it take to mine a Fiat 500?
So look,
how many brunches does it take?
What about cars based on the Fiat? Can I trade a Gestavo or like a Yugo or a Dacia for a Fiat?
Yeah. It's on the same blockchain.
You're just bartering. This isn't blockchain anymore. But the other thing, right, is that they basically, the whole libertarian case for this, and we'll see this as we get into the sort of art world critique, is essentially that the problem is these particular institutions, they need to be circumvented. But as we'll sort of find out as we explore these, that it's basically the same people getting rich off of it.
Weird.
You're telling me the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England weren't hives of statists and haven't been since like at least the 80s?
But I have a couple more things about the environmental effects.
They're very bad.
Number one, when Grimes made her historical sale of like millions of dollars worth of NFTs on the Winklevoss's gateway of NFT sales. So we're already
Join me in the Winklevoss gateway.
But what we're doing is right. All of these people getting rich off of this are already incredibly rich, and the people buying all this artwork are incredibly rich from crypto. Like no one is being empowered here.
Wait a minute.
She declared that a port. Hang on a second. This rubber mask off. Comes right off.
You're telling me somebody who was born to a very wealthy Canadian journalist and who duked it out, you know, got her start just playing at after hours clubs in Montreal and then married the world's richest man isn't getting some help here?
Well, I mean, and also don't forget of already working with the global plutocrat Winklevoss twins.
Well, I think this problem, yeah. I mean, this sucks, but the problem would of course be solved if you instead just made it so you had to have $60,000 lying around to be involved.
Yeah. Which is also true, because in order to do anything on the Ethereum blockchain, you need to pay something called a gas fee.
Oh, no.
Which is basically, right, it's where you say, if you want to, like, list an NFT for sale, you have to pay, like, a bunch of money just to put it up, and there's no guarantee that it'll sell.
Hmm.
So usually that's, like, about $100,
and,
if not
where
more.
Where does that money go?
That money goes to...
Don't worry about
it. In part, it goes to the people who are like are doing that process.
It goes to the people at the top of your end line. It's sort of like a triangle shaped.
Yeah, it's like a triangle plan.
Ah,
yeah, you pay and then you get to play. I don't see what the problem is.
But what Grimes said is that a portion
triangle is a very strong shape, which is why it's a good way to run a business.
The proceeds will go towards Carbon 180, an NGO devoted to developing carbon removal technology.
Yes,
to my friend Michael. Mm.
Yeah. We're doing offsets, baby.
it's a
guy, it's fine because I'm gonna pay a guy over there to say that he's gonna unstab a guy.
No, I'm gonna pay a guy over there to fuck.
Yeah, he's gonna have a child.
Guy. Yeah, exactly. Pay a guy over there to invent
the aggregate change to the population is nothing. Why are you arresting me?
Every time a new guy is born, I go out and stab a guy so it's not gay.
Yeah.
Oh, Thanos.
You can't be having more guys than there were before.
Like
and another example is the Nyan Cat NFT. Because all of these, a lot of these are just references. It's just references to stuff.
Because it's nerd shit. This is, okay, like, I don't even care about any of the politics about it. As soon as people started talking about this, I was like, nerd shit, don't care.
Yeah.
Nerds, fucking nerds, being fucking nerds. They're like, we're going to solve the problems with the industry with this epic new bacon thing. And like, no, like, suck my fucking dick. Absolutely not. You should have been bullied more in the last 10 years. Go back to school immediately so that you can have your head slammed in a fucking locker, you little nerd.
So, Nyan Cat, which is an NFT of a GIF of a cat.
Yeah, Nyan NFT.
It's a GIF of a cat running along that has a rainbow coming out of its hind parts.
It's like
we don't say the word ass on this podcast.
It's electricity
this
usage.
Is a family show.
Its electricity usage is equivalent to the average EU resident's electricity usage for 2 months.
Yeah, it has an ion cannon in its ass. That's why.
So
it makes
basically,
that.
It's the Nyan Cat or like two Belgian families.
Oh, that's a difficult choice.
Actually, Nyan Cat. Yeah.
Now that you phrased it like that.
Gonna have to go with Nyan Cat. Wait a minute. Do the Belgian families have like full dungeons in their basement, or just a half dungeon?
Oh no, they're. I have a lot of children in my basement mining Bitcoin.
They're Walloons. In blackface. I'm sorry, guys.
they just don't understand that Bitcoin isn't in the ground.
Yeah, so here's
the children that have the tiny hands for pulling the Bitcoin out of the ground.
Yeah,
you're
Austrian,
right? Digging a big enough hole is as valid a proof of work system as solving hashes.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you get something productive out of it, which is a hole, and whatever you dig out of the hole,
you can bury the guy you stabbed.
Yeah, you can put the extra guys in the hole.
Yeah. I've made something called a dirt offset, which is when I take the dirt that I took out of the ground and I put it in my pockets.
This is from an article about Bitcoin miners moving to the town of Plattsburgh, which happened a couple years ago.
Oh.
So in the case of Plattsburgh, the article goes, miners were drawn to this city of just 20,000 people because it had the cheapest rates of electricity in the world due to its proximity to a hydroelectric dam on the St. Lawrence River, as well as a local regulation.
It couldn't be libertarians taking advantage of state infrastructure. No.
Is this Plattsburgh, New York?
Yes.
Yeah. It is the worst place on earth.
I can't confirm this. I have been there. Yes. Agree with Matt.
How is the hydroelectric dam?
It's located on one of the. It's famous for, of course, only having a SUNY campus, which is the State University of New York, and they're all just like.
When are they
going to
build the Shia campus?
Heyo,
hey now,
the Sufi campus.
But it's just like a horrible, like brutalist, like someone just poured concrete over the whole town. And now also there's a dam and I guess a bunch of blockchain guys. It seems like hell on earth.
So what happened was there was basically like local regulation that kept the cost of electricity subsidized. And why they wanted to do that was to attract businesses that would come in and do things and make things and employ people.
Oh, no.
Suckers.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, so what happened was a bunch of guys came in, employed nobody, but set up a bunch of microprocessors.
Heavily subsidized the veins in my neck in order to attract businesses that will grow the economy.
And started just using more energy than the city was allotted from the dam, which meant that everyone who lived in the city ended up paying like $200 more for their electricity than usual because these guys basically just set up shipping containers full of like, you know, air-cooled supercomputers that were designed to waste energy.
They're getting really good at it too. Like there was a video of a guy posted of his Bitcoin mining rig that got him yelled at a lot, justly. And it was like, yeah, it was really compact. It was like you were doing fucking like oil field work. You just put this stuff off of the back of a truck, load up all of the processors into it, turn them all on, find some way of dissipating all of the heat that this generates because it's more waste energy and you don't need to use that for anything. And just, yeah, raise everyone's power bill and also destroy the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, and again, Bitcoin and Ethereum, different things, but like the same fundamental, the main thing that's different between them is that Bitcoin just hashes a bunch of identity numbers, a transaction ID, a destination wallet, a source wallet, whatever. Ethereum hashes like stuff. So it can hash like a contract. It can hash a link to something. It can hash things. It can hash processes, as opposed to just a random number.
It can hash
a
URL.
Ethereum is more like Black
too.
Mirror. Like, what if your mom was on the blockchain?
Yeah, basically. And so, and that's the and but like the fundamental thing of you have to solve this hard, pointless math equation is the same thing between the two of them. So
different
like,
kinds of nerd, different genders of nerd.
So Bitcoin uses 1% of the world's energy as of its most recent.
Holy fucking Christ. Shit.
Calculation? Mm-mm. Yeah, 1% of the world's energy goes into nothing. Goes into nothing. It goes into nothing.
There was time when it went into Counter-Strike. This was very good time.
At least the Soviet Union in 1988 made tractors.
And I mean, the good news is that energy, we're very good at getting it. Like, we get it from cool places that are sustainable. So the 1% really isn't a big deal.
Ever since man has split the atom, we've just been able to like get a functionally limitless supply of energy that we choose not to use because, you know, we're digging stuff out of the ground, which is cool.
Yeah, got to keep digging the stuff out of the ground and using it to solve this math equation.
Got to keep doing it. Splitting the atom, very scary. Don't want to do that.
If we don't solve this math equation, then how will people know that the gif of the farting butt is mine?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I think I want to, I mean, what if you just like put the GIF of the farting butt like on a hard drive and you're like, this is the only one and you put the hard drive in a safe.
You know, how do other people know that?
Yeah. I've signed the hard drive. Problem solved. Sorry guys, I was like looking at a hard drive. Yeah.
Yeah, but how do I know it was you?
Again, just fucking bring back the inscription, the Roman inscriptions that say, like, such and such may fake it, right? Like, this dude made me at this time. It's the same effect, and also, like, aside from, you know, fucking tin and silver mines in Spain, they didn't really do catastrophic climate change to do it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, fuck, do you remember there was a guy at some point in the 2000s who invented, like, a pen with a camera on it so that you could verify, like, autographed stuff that was being sold on eBay?
What?
And so you'd have, like, a video of, like, a close-up of, like, Michael Jordan signing your basketball jersey or whatever. And it was, like, it was a trash future vibe, but in, like, 2005.
Why not just put a camera next to his hand while he's doing... We have cameras.
You might well fucking ask that, Matt, and that's why you're not rich.
So I have a few examples.
You're not a free thinker like these guns.
So I have a few examples of NFTs.
A camera and a pen. Yeah.
One of the examples of NFTs is discussed on this podcast in 2017, CryptoKitties.
That sounds highly illegal.
This is pre-Alice era. Yeah, I remember
before, this.
This
is before Nate.
I'm almost glad I don't remember this because just the name alone sounds like
it's barely even
FBI
Hussein era.
Gonna,
or CryptoPunks, which are like 8-bit just drawings of
CryptoPunks,
guys.
CryptoPunks, the greatest enemy of Michael Blockchain.
CryptoPunks are just 8-bit drawings of guys with like hats.
CryptoPunks stole me fucking uniform again.
Like very, very simple. There are maybe 4 different things about them that can be different from one another. And some of the most expensive ones now, again, 8-bit art, it's maybe, I don't know, 128 pixels total, that is going for $1 million.
Cool.
All I'm imagining is, in England, do you guys have those like Gashapon machines that give you the little homies? Do you get those?
We don't have little homies, unfortunately. Oh,
it's like it's this thing that was in the 90s in America where you get like out of a Gashapon machine, like a little plastic like guy from a like a rap guy or like a hip hop themed guy.
Yeah, a little homie.
A little homie. Yeah, and I'm just imagining
I know the
that.
Guy. You just don't have them here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just imagining.
To get it out of the machine, you had to run a diesel engine for like 4 years. Right?
I'm imagining a sort of
otherwise how would it have value?
Yeah.
Basically here are a few things to wet our whistles. With this technology that is, again, really materially contributing to the end of all of human life.
Now you made it sound cool.
The based answer here, and also a guy who will generate a shit ton of cryptocurrency, is the first guy to construct an operational nuclear reactor.
Yes. Backyard nuke reactor.
Once a guy does that, not only will the environmental consequences, barring meltdown and leaks and things of that nature, be far less bad than just running it off of fucking, coal power
mainly.
Stations. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a case here for the dead hand of the state to let go and just deregulate nuclear power.
We gotta do it. It's our only option. This is our only way. The only way out is through, and the only way out is to encourage these guys to build like a submarine nuclear
Alice,
plant. Yes.
Are you saying that we need Blofeld more than ever?
Yes.
Like, now, Elon Musk is gonna announce that he's
some
building.
Guys in Pennsylvania doing like Operation Paperclip too. To find like different kinds of insane guys from all over the world to come around and like build a nuclear reactor in Westchester out of like old Cadillac
it's
parts.
It's gotta be Russians who remember how to construct a nuclear reactor that you can get for very little money to come to your house and build you a nuclear
reactor.
There's
a Ukrainian guy listening to this podcast right now going, blech, and like throwing his vodka bottle against the wall. So he's like, Mash, bring the in your computer.
I feel like Elon Musk is going to say like, I've constructed a nuclear reactor to mine Ethereum in my backyard. And then they're going to like do a press event and it's going to break down. And it's going to be one guy shoveling coal inside of a big box.
Look, Gucci has released a line of virtual sneakers you can buy for NFTs for $12 a pair. All at the cost of two European households of energy.
I just have an aneurysm
there. A lot of people, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about how the RBMK type nuclear reactor had some problems. It wasn't the best, But we need to destigmatize the RBMK reactor.
Yeah.
It generates over 14 shoes per minute.
Yeah.
You did not see a Louis Vuitton handbag because there was no Louis Vuitton handbag.
So, Elon Musk is considering releasing a song about NFTs as an NFT.
Based.
No! So it's going to be so good for art.
This is my song about NFTs.
Mark Cuban,
I'm here to say.
Yeah. Mark Cuban is considering releasing a line of, I think, NFTs about entrepreneurship, but I'm not entirely sure.
Uh-huh. We've got to do is we've got to get the like old office posters with like a photo of like some mountains and then like motivation and then some text underneath that. That's got to be an NFT, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, memes from 2008.
But the problem is
that
the whole thing is just so desperately self-referential that probably already exists.
You're like a deep-fried minion. Drinking coffee. I think when you sell the NFT, every time it gets sold, it should be deep fried one level more.
Yeah.
So what should surprise none of you is that Damien Hirst is getting in on the action.
Oh, come on.
I wish I could show you all the face that Matt made
when we mentioned
Damien Hirst.
So the collection is called The Currency. And,
it's a dual meaning. It's very funny. Have you ever noticed that, like, the word currency has multiple meanings in this context?
I hadn't. Thank you.
It's very clever.
Hurst says
Matt has had to move away from their computer for a moment, for just a private moment.
Most visibly furious I have ever seen them.
So Hurst says the whole project is an artwork, and anyone who buys the currency participates in its creation. It's not just about owning it.
I'm going to commit a fucking felony.
So how much is this empowering artists who are traditionally shut out by the galleries?
That's not the question. The question to our guests is, which Batman villain are you becoming as a result of learning this? I think you're becoming Hush.
I told Devin about this.
It can't be the Condiment King. I'm already him.
I told Devin about this, and they said they were becoming the Penguin.
I'm going for the Riddler. He's got a real nice getup.
I'm looking around my kitchen for pressure cookers because I'm becoming so terrified.
Yeah, Joker with a D.
That's right.
I'm becoming the Joker Tsarnaev.
I'm looking around my kitchen for pressure cookers because I'm becoming the Unabomber. Yeah.
Here's another couple of things, right?
Do you think the Unabomber just mailed you a fucking pressure cooker? You just got a giant box shaped like a pressure cooker making pressure cooker noises. You're just like, oh, I wonder what this is.
What could this be?
The Unabomber like just loves shipping people a wonderful stew. Yeah.
So we have two more things. I don't know which one is going to outrage all of us more, because these two are the most enraging.
Okay.
More than the fake sneakers or Elon Musk thing.
More than Damien
Hirst. I don't know. Where are you going to go with this?
You always doubt me. And then I always bring you something that really upsets you. So, shall we start with Christie's or Sotheby's?
Ooh, Christie's.
Christie's.
Okay, Christie's. So Christie's, as we know, sold this Beeple drawing 5,000 days, the first 5,000 days.
Beeple.
What was it
Dr.
called?
Yeah, Beeple, it was the first 5,000 days. Sick.
What it was this collage of many different JPEGs. I believe it included a sample of his hair that gets mailed to you.
Cool.
Oh, so it's kind of bordering on like Marinetti shit. Yeah, you have to smell the hair as you look at the picture.
But again, so the person who bought it was pseudonymous Medicovan, who owns the world's biggest.
Excuse me.
Well, it's because all these people have like names that they go online with because they're all nerds.
Oh, right.
And this person owns the world's largest NFT art fund and was already the biggest owner of Beeple's work.
Huh.
So in effect, what this guy was doing was actually massively increasing the value of his own business by making Beeple the fifth highest paid artist ever living.
Yeah. Oh, so he's doing SoftBank shit.
Yes.
Well, he's doing the art market shit.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. It's almost as though the fundamental dynamics of the art market have been unchanged by the application of a suicidal technology.
You're saying this guy could have just printed his fucking thing? Printed it!
Exactly the same way with oil paintings. Because you own a lot of oil paintings, and then if you pay a lot more for another oil painting, somebody will be like, huh, that's the most anyone's ever paid for an oil painting. All of your other oil paintings must be worth more, but also all of the oil paintings are diesel generators!
Yeah, oil-generated paintings.
Print the fucking thing on a canvas. Just print it on a canvas, and you can sell it, and people will buy it, and you'll get rich that way. Just do it a normal way. Like, fucking, there's no reason.
No, it doesn't have the fun novelty. Although, you really are becoming the Riddler there.
If I just printed it out on a piece of canvas and didn't burn anything down, then perhaps, I don't know, somehow it would be funged.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? To explain sort of why that's not possible, you have to sort of understand the relationship between currency and assets.
I've made an NFT in my shit. People say that's not art, but...
So, what happens is, right, if you have a large block of money, as large blocks of money are generated, they look for assets to go into. It happened in the 1970s when OPEC increased the oil prices and then, like, petrodollar recycling was a thing. And that created classes of assets that it then flowed into.
Yeah, central London property.
Or as I call them, classets.
In most popularly, it was actually developing market debt, which is how we got into a lot of the interest rate traps that we're in now. But also, in this case, with cryptocurrency, you have tons of currency that's been created out of nothing that now has been agreed to have value on the basis of ideology. But none of that currency has any asset that it can buy directly. It has to be converted into another currency to do it. So as part of the reification...
Apart from drugs and child pornography.
So as part of the... But even those are valued in the fiat currency. Hold you on. Just use the crypto as a medium of exchange.
Can I buy plutonium to start my Canadian RBMK reactor with non-fungible tokens?
Oh, sorry. Dan, aren't you going to get a can-do? Come on. So it's a Canadian nuclear reactor.
Oh, okay.
Can-do.
So basically... Basically, the thing is, it has to be like this. It has to be related to the blockchain. It has to be online because it doesn't fulfill its economic function in terms of the relationship between the base and the superstructure unless it is like this. This is necessary on the basis of the nature of cryptocurrency. And equally, so what's happened is the actual art market as it exists, as we've talked about before with Jessica Eaton, is just this large asset dump for the extremely rich to put the money. Because once you get, I think a lot of people have a hard time conceiving of this. Once you become like, once you get like $500 million or whatever, your full-time job is finding stuff to do with it. Because you can't just keep it in a bank. You have to put it in things.
Yeah, it's the Pablo Escobar thing of having to bury your cash in oil drums because you have too much of it.
We had to burn all the oil from the oil drums to empty it out to put the cash in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's cool.
And so what you end up with is you end up with this thing where the actual structures of the art market have been completely replicated because it's performing the same economic function just in relation to a way stupider currency that is destroying the world in a much more direct way.
I mean, cool. That's a pretty, those contradictions are jumping up, one could say.
Yeah,
really,
it's almost as though it's an automatic contradiction
heightener. Contradictions getting swole.
Yeah, I'm burning an oil drum to heighten the contradictions. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Come on, heighten. So
the only artist
thing, right?
I would support making an NFT are the KLF because they basically already did that.
Yes.
So the and
can't
also
wait for the Banksy NFT.
And also, so oh, here's the other one.
How is it not happening?
Say that.
I think there already is one, and it's of him burning one of his own works of art.
Can we like physically keep Milo away from the lathe that we keep in the studio, please?
Well, he didn't summon this into being; it already exists.
Yeah, it already exists. 380k he sold it for.
Yeah. Christ.
And, but these things are all, and well, we'll sort of get into why it's pure self-reference at this point. But there's one more thing: it's Sotheby's. They're collaborating with a digital artist called Pack. And so here's the quote. We've been following the NFT space for some time. The upcoming sale is set to launch next month, and this is new for all of us. But there's a lot here that's really exciting and we think has staying power. NFTs are bringing a new aesthetic to art, and there's potential to bypass a lot of the traditional gatekeepers and vetting processes of the physical art world, said Sotheby's CEO Charles Stewart.
Well, no.
There's no mafia.
Yeah.
Sotheby's CEO.
Well, this auction is open to anyone who has $30 million in cash, so I think...
$30
million. I am going to become Poison Ivy.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? It may have passed, like, certain elements of some traditional gatekeepers in the art world, and we'll describe what the art world
just
is.
Different gatekeepers.
But, or it's the same thing with, like, record labels and stuff. Right, where the record label will say,
oh,
you have to,
Bacon
where you have to audition for us, and we have to send our A&R or whatever. We're gonna sign a contract, then we're gonna do the marketing and print the records and all this and send it all out. And yet, the bands that are releasing albums on NFTs are already established.
Yes, it benefits no. It's the Spotify model. It benefits no one in the middle, you know, or at the bottom, really.
Well, it's the difference, right? Is that with the Spotify model. When you pay for Spotify, you get the license to play a song that Spotify owns the rights to and the rights to distribute. And when you upload a song to Spotify, you give them the rights to sell that. And then Spotify pockets the vast majority of the money and then assigns the rest of it based on who's the most popular, as Dan, you and I have talked about in the past on this show. And what NFTs do is they say, what if we got rid of the Spotify element of this, right? But it never sort of thinks... Well, how do artists become popular? Who funds what artists get marketing budgets? Which artists have the time and money to set aside to become artists?
The ones who can build nuclear reactors.
Exactly.
What if we built a sort of electronic Berry Gordy?
And also,
Damien Hirst building a giant diamond shark that's also a nuclear reactor.
The other thing is, that as Ethereum gets more and more valuable, it also gets used for stuff like most of it's used for something called DeFi or decentralized finance, because mostly these smart contracts are actually used for in theory. I think that's not had wide adoption because Ethereum. It's incredibly expensive to use. It's incredibly expensive because imagine if to post a song on the blockchain on one of these gateways to sell once for each time you uploaded it, you had to pay $70.
Yeah. I mean, I presume what they're envisaging with NFTs is a bit like that Wu-Tang album, where it's like artists will put out one copy of their album to sell for some ridiculous huge amount of money.
But that was an album. That was a thing that Martin Shkreli could hold in his little weasel hands. Like, that was a thing that existed.
Yeah, Martin Shkreli is going to do something weird with NFTs.
Oh my God. It's becoming unhinged.
Yeah. Becoming Hugo Strange.
You're just becoming the calendar man.
Trying to think of these as commodities is sort of missing the trick here, where I think you have to think about them as having sufficiently abstracted the commodity away entirely, because the whole point of capitalism's reification is the movement of money around. How many transactions are taking place? Because those transactions usually represent the successful transmutation of labor into money, which can be expropriated from the laborer. And the more transactions happen, the more capital is successful. The process of financialization and abstraction that's taken place since the 1970s.
Love transactions, love abstraction. I hate foreigners, civilized. Yeah.
That is regional elite 101.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying they don't like the contradictions being heightened, but I think it's good. I like it when the contradiction's dry. If you like the contradiction's low, why don't you go back to Islamistan?
And that's Nick Land.
Basically. DCRU, baby.
Right, but
it's called being English.
So the whole point, right, of financialization and all this abstraction has been reducing the role of C, of the commodity, and increasing the role, the M's on either side, where you can speculate on whether something will exist and something's future price and so on and so on. And you can take money and make more money while really never touching or interacting with a commodity or having someone else do it at all. Right. And what strikes me about this, right, is that the thing that you're buying and selling bears basically no relationship to the alleged commodity. It's the title. It's purely the ownership.
Yeah, people aren't buying the Nyan Cat because they want
to
own
the Nyan
Cat.
They're buying the sign that points to the Nyan Cat. They're buying the thing that says you own this thing.
Because then they can sell it to someone else.
And the thing is, and ordinarily how commodity fetishism works is that the commodity is reified into something else that is tradable, that has exchange value other than just use value. But in this case, the commodity isn't even being reified. It's not there. The commodity and the concept of ownership are identical from the off. There's no process of transformation that goes on at all. That's why it's so weird.
So you're saying when I bought this piece of paper that says I own the star Beetlejuice, that's...
At least gold is useful for some stuff, like melting down and pouring down rich guys.
At least I can throw a brick of gold at the Batman in my new life as the gold thrower.
And I mean, one of the reasons that art is sort of such a strange commodity is that it's supposed to have some kind of ineffable quality. It's supposed to have you're basically transforming something aesthetic into something countable, an exchange value.
Yeah, well, we talked about this, you and I did, about how this is basically Duchamp's final victory of just the point of art is to create a privileged asset class out of people who make art that rich people like, so I can do whatever the fuck I want. I can sell them a urinal some bullshit written on it.
Yeah.
Well, same thing, except now I can do that, but it's also actively harming everyone.
Duchamp getting thrown out of the club for shitting in the urinal. He's like, that's art, mate.
Well, he did
sell that.
Duchamp sold his own shit. He shit in a tin. Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
That was my joke earlier about putting a gif of a shit on the blockchain.
I want to make a prediction for the next year of how humanity is going to work out. I want to make a little prediction, and if it comes true, I want you to shoot me in the head with a gun. Okay, so what's going to happen is
throw a lump of gold at my head,
handing you the lathe.
Thank you. I'm putting on safety glasses, and so what's going to happen is some artist, as a protest to what NFTs do to the environment, is going to sell an NFT of one of those lonely polar bears. like on a nice flow, and it's going to go for a lot of money, and they're going to think they're making a really good point, but they're just doing the thing. It's going to be awesome. Yep. And I'm really looking forward to it.
And the polar bear is going to be kissing a policeman. And that artist is going to be Banksy.
That's right. And then the GIF is going to zoom out, and it's all going to be on a computer, and the computer is going to be on fire.
And then
there's going to be a little banner that drops that says, "Is this the world you want?"
Yo.
Yeah.
It says so much about the way
that
we're
living. And then a policeman is sticking his dick through that poster.
So, and the thing is, right, there was an essay by Mackenzie Wark called My Collectible Ass.
That's my other podcast,
which is about essentially like the relationship between art and markets, which I want to read from here, where she writes, the first stage corresponds to an era of landed property and mercantile capitalism. Mm-hmm. This is the era in which artwork separates itself from the crafted commodity and becomes fine art. The artwork is an even rarer instance of something already rare, the well-made thing. The second stage corresponds to the era of industrial capitalism. Here, the rare and collectible thing is no longer an exemplary instance of a crafted commodity, because the artist is no longer a master craftsman. He, and it still usually is he in this point, is a free spirit and a singular or original personage. So this is your Marcel Duchamp. Mm-hmm. The third stage corresponds to the period in which information becomes the key to value in both the wider economy and also in art. The artwork is no longer a special kind of commodity as it was in the modern art period. The artwork is now a special kind of financial instrument. The artwork is now collectible because it is a financial instrument in a portfolio that manages and hedges risk. And the information about the artwork is actually the most important thing about it.
Well, I mean, astronaut pointing gun meme, right, always has been. But in this case, it's just more obvious.
And the thing is, and Warwick's essay was quite prescient, because this was from 2017, sort of before before this was made very literal. Essentially, by the blockchain.
Yeah, before they were like, "What if we merge the two things that are used the most for money laundering: cryptocurrency and the art world?"
Because essentially, right, the information about the artwork used to be just things that everyone knew. It used to be stuff that was processed ideologically. It used to be at the level of aura or whatever. But now aura has been completely disenchanted and is literal. The literal information is there. You can look it up. Mm. You know, it can be quantified and differentiated from something else.
Again, that's not new, because you could commission fine art, right? You could get a portrait of yourself or of your family. You could name a wing of a museum after yourself. It's not new. But what it is,
a portrait of your dog in a rough.
Yeah, as you say, it is the contradiction heightener. What we're doing is all of these sort of, as we're speeding up towards the fucking cliff face, right? All of this extraneous detail that like people like the aesthetic of what it might actually look like, or what it might sound like, or what it might read like, or whatever, that's just fucking falling away in pieces.
Yeah.
Who needs you it? Suckers enjoying art? Why are you're supposed to be exchanging it?
You fool!
It's another signpost in like the mask off century that we're having, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. That's TF season, I don't know, three, four, season four.
It's not season four yet, but I'm beginning to feel a season four coming
season
on.
Season four is the fucking Kierkegaard thing of the midnight hour when all the masks come off. And in this case, it's just like, oh boy, it's just capital.
Season three weird. And cliffhanger is everybody becoming Batman villains.
Yeah, that's right.
The trash shooter is a blind man in a dark cellar at midnight looking for a financial times leader that isn't there.
The thing is, right, I'm thinking about this. And I think the only way to be is to be a Batman villain by this point. I think that's the only way to keep your sanity. I did a tweet ages ago that was like, the guy who did best out of the tulip bubble was just a guy who didn't understand it but really liked eating tulips. Like, I think the only option is to become so jokified that you circle back around and you think, oh, this is based, actually. I love Nyan Cat. You have to become an epic guy as like psychic armor for yourself.
Yeah, Alice, I actually screenshotted that tweet and I made several $1 billion off of it as an NFT.
Oh, you can do that. There's a service called Valuable where you can sell your own tweets as NFTs.
Yeah, I already did that with the ISS tweet.
How much did you get for it?
$1.
Wow, that's a bargain at any price.
It really is. I reckon I'd have more resale.
And I mean, the other thing, right, is we've also been talking about this mainly in terms of like visual art, but this is, I think, just as important in terms of music as well, right, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some people argue that selling albums as NFTs is going to help with collecting royalties or or whatever, which seems absolutely fucking absurd. It's you know, there's already a royalty collection system in place that doesn't involve burning the entire planet to a black crisp, you know. Like, also watching the, you know, Kings of Leon, I think, were the first band to put up an NFT. Yeah. So do you really want to follow in those footsteps? Like,
oof. The Damien Hirst of music.
Yeah, I don't see it adding any kind of value to anyone trying to make a living creating music, you know.
The planet sex on fire.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck.
This is the problem with having podcasters who are all roughly the same age. It's like it's the exact same thing with me and Nate both remembering Block Party and taking psychic damage at the same time.
Yeah. Oh man, I love Block Party.
So
Silent Alarm still holds up.
and then he made a musical about Brexit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Everyone becomes a loser eventually. Yeah, Kelly Okereke.
Yeah, the guy from Block Party. He did a musical about Brexit.
He's an FBPE guy. He's a referendum guy.
He should have released it as an NFT.
Yeah.
But no, because also it's like it is information. It is totally indistinct from any other bit of information. It's just, I guess, you can resell it more easily. Why does that necessarily matter? Because you could just copy it over.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is, right, is all of the, even like the even evangelists of crypto on the left, right, they say this is a way to circumvent these institutions, right? But the problem
yeah,
is
for the people in those institutions.
Yeah, and the thing is, right, you might, if you circumventing the institution is incidental, if you're not also circumventing and destroying the relationship, which is the problem, which is not solved by something that just reifies it and disenchants it into a line of code that happens to use as much energy as two European households a month.
Yeah, it's weird to assume that like that what's wrong with central banks is like the principle of having a central bank rather than like who decides what a central bank does and why.
Yeah. Effectively, yes. The idea of these sort of, you know, if you really want to go like full we're going to destroy the record labels and central banks levels of like acceptable social transformation, right? In terms of your theory of change. Mm-hmm. Why you're not trying to redefine the relationship between the producer and consumer of art rather than trying to say that relationship is good and we should keep it, but we should make it more efficient.
We go this far and no further. And if the result of that is that we rebuild the exact same systems, but also worse, then that's just a learning experience.
Well, I'm going to rebuild the system and make it worse and going to get rich at the same time. So I don't see what the problem is. It's just like,
yeah, that's the other thing, right? You can only get rich in this incredibly volatile asset.
Yeah, it's
like,
cool.
Congratulations, you've bought this album for $2,000. Tomorrow, it might be worth $10.
I'm looking at the post NFT apocalypse future where I will be reissuing all of the Wolf Parade records on vinyl, but instead of vinyl, it's pressed nutritious grain.
Mm. I more useful. Mm.
Fending off an actual wolf parade.
and the thing is, right, it's very, because these are just a pure contradiction heightener, but they heighten the contradictions in both directions, right? Mm. Because it's very easy to say that these are ridiculous, like, oh, you're just buying a sign.
Yeah.
But it's you're just buying a sign that points to a GIF.
And I can't stress enough that that is what we're doing.
Yeah. But equally, right, think about this, right? If you're you buy a parcel of land, what you're actually buying is you're buying the recognition from a universally sort of trusted body that will give you a piece of paper that says this land is yours.
Yeah, but then you have land that you get to use.
Yeah, I think it's the idea, right, that there is use value connected to that transaction. But the transaction itself is still for all of these symbols.
Yeah, also in terms of, like, if we're going back to fucking Weber here, right, like, the way that you're able to use that land is the state doesn't use a monopoly on violence to kick you off of it or allow other people to kick you off of it.
And I think what this boils down to is that if you're trying to solve problems by just looking at the application of technology rather than the whole existing system in which it sits, such as that makes buying the title of land something that like makes sense, at least from a use value perspective within the society you're in.
Really? Are you saying that the workers should own the means of the production of their labor?
I'm saying that there's no way to
kind of... Are you saying that those should be held in common for like a public good?
What I'm
People value linen coats for their exchange.
Oh, non-fungible linen coat.
Is, you can't square that circle with cryptography.
No.
Yeah, there it is. You cannot sort of end run this sort of massive program of social and political reform that has to happen in order
to,
like...
That's why it's such a fucking nerd thing, right? Is that if we can just outsmart capital, we don't have to do materialism to it. We can just go around it by doing enough math.
And that capital's just gonna do the math better and faster, and then the CEO of Sotheby's is just gonna use your math problem to make himself and his friends rich.
Oh dang!
Yeah,
whoops.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing that they did with the graffiti as the graffiti artists in the 1970s. They picked like two or three, and those were Basquiat and Haring, and those are the ones that made you rich. And the rest of them were just ignored. It's not as though the other ones were better or worse. It's just these were the two that were picked.
Look, somebody said NFTs are going to be a great democratization of art that will benefit both artists and art consumers. Yeah. And you know that's true because it was said by Sébastien de la Pédophile. And he is a man who knows a lot about art because he owns over $4 billion worth of it. So, you know, who are we, mere podcasters, to disagree?
Podcasters and our friends who are working artists.
That's right.
What would they know? They don't own $4 billion. They've never made $4 billion worth of art. I own $4 billion worth of
art. That's right.
Anyway,
you've never even looked at $4 billion
so,
worth of art.
Look, we've been going for a stone cold while here. So I just want to turn back to our guests and say, now that we've talked about NFTs, how excited are you on a scale of 9 to 10?
Final weapon of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
To release
the Stone Cold Wild, where he just lets the ravages of time have their way with you.
Yeah, it's the stunner, but the stunner is the ravages of age.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask, how excited are you to release your next creations via the medium of NFT, a completely emancipatory process that has no problems to it?
I would give my excitement level, I would rank it 10, which is as excited as I am to announce my new business venture, Gulag, spelled GLG, a corporate retreat and team building exercise held high in the Canadian Arctic.
There's a bunch of guys get to build a nuclear reactor for you.
Yeah, And also, just as an addendum, if any fans from Ukraine, Belarus, or Kazakhstan have any knowledge of building, operating, or maintaining RBMK reactors, please get in touch with me.
That's right. Matt, how excited are you to release your next comic as an NFT that will be worth between $1 and $20 million, depending on... how the US dollar tether scam is going.
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, if you think about it, like there's only one way I can think of where I can draw a JPEG that kills a family of lemurs, which is, you know,
that's right.
It's a new kind of thing.
This machine kills lemurs.
Yeah, before you had to draw like an instructional comic on how to kill lemurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a commentary piece. That kills
That's
lemurs.
The only middleman we're actually cutting out is we're killing the lemurs with the art instead of making the art to inspire people to kill the lemurs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, by the way, Dan, you mentioned the Arctic. Do you know where most Bitcoin mining firms are now setting up?
Oh, no. Please.
Wait, they're just doing irony on themselves, like building a Bitcoin mining warehouse like on the Arctic sheet ice, just being like, well, the more Bitcoin we mine, the closer this is to just falling into the sea.
A bunch of them set up in northern Iceland using geothermal power and then the cold air to cool the computers.
You know, well,
I guess at least they're not killing the planet because they're using renewable energy.
But the thing is, that energy would just be used by other people who are now having to use dirty energy.
A couple years ago, I played an incredible festival in Yellowknife, the Yellowknife Folk Fest. It was the furthest north I'd ever been in my life. It was amazing. And I got to drive around the town. I got to like spend a decent amount of time there. And I was talking to one of the promoters, and they were talking about how real estate prices were skyrocketing outside of the city limits of Yellowknife. And I was like, who is buying property? And they said, I don't know, it seems like a bunch of tech people. So...
Yep.
That fully the news item playing in the background as you leave the house in the first 5 minutes of the horror movie.
Just fucking yes.
Oh god. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And that's why I like don't know. Is there a left wing case for like blockchain in general? Not as applied here. Not as applied here.
No,
and
I know.
Not using proof
I'm
of work.
Answering you. Yeah. No. There isn't. Buy your drugs from a guy like a normal person.
But look, okay, blockchain is about more
Michael
than
drugs.
To be fair, but the way in which they have been applied in this is just. If you're trying to say there's a left case for this, then I'm sorry, you're like a Lexit person. You've been like, actually, this is good for something that is profoundly bad. And you're just saying it's cope, basically, to say that, like, actually, there's a big left-wing case for cryptocurrency, blah, blah, blah. Maybe in another world under totally different conditions, perhaps. But in this world, under these conditions, the way it's actually being used, for the ends it's actually being used, there is fucking not.
If your left-wing project is to invent a new kind of money, what the fuck kind of left-wing project? Like, I just don't understand. Like, your project should be to get rid of money as a con. Like, I don't know, man. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, what does it do? It doesn't do anything.
Any serious leftist who isn't coming up with a medium of exchange that uses just eggs, that's no fucking leftist.
I agree.
There are more uses to a distributed ledger than just inventing money. Just, it's good to, like, track stuff if you need to absolutely know the provenance. Whatever. I'm sure there are good uses for that, but in reality, you were living in fantasy world. Fantasy world, if you think anything else.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're an Epic Bacon sympathizer is what you are.
Absolutely. You're collaborating with the Epic Bacon.
First
people.
Against the wall.
You're unforgivable.
You're a Munchies Vic.
So, with all of that being said, I want to say, number one, Matt and Dan, thank you so much for coming on here and talking to us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
I can't speak for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, Dan is not thankful. No,
I am thankful. I'm also totally joker-fied now.
Yeah, absolutely, we're all joker-fied.
That is right.
And also, Matt, where can people find you online?
You could find me if you just look for Lubchansky. You could find me everywhere. Lubchansky. I've got a new book out called The Antifa Super Soldier Cookbook from Silver Sprocket. It's very good, and you can get it now.
Nice. Matt's at Ra's al Ghul on Twitter.
Dan, where can people find you? And what projects do you have going on, maybe with anyone else on this show?
You could.
Yeah, the nuclear reactor that you're both building. It's on Kickstarter.
Yeah, you can support my nuclear reactor Kickstarter. My band Operators has a Patreon, which is how I pay my rent. And Riley and I have a podcast called The Bottle Men. Yes. Which you could also support on Patreon.
Indeed. That is also how we pay our rent. It is all about Canadian politics. So for the dumb shit that happens in the Great White North, you can listen to it.
I want to find out why people are buying property in Yellowknife.
Our most recent episode, we talked to the episode one guys about the different menus at casual eateries in Canada.
Total chaos.
Fuck yeah, bud.
Absolutely
total chaos.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. With all that being said, I want to say thank you once again to our lovely guests. Thank you very much to our listeners for subscribing to the bonus. And Alice and Milo, do you guys want to remind people of your side projects?
Kill James Bond is a podcast that I do with friend of the show, Devon, and Abby from Philosophy Tube. It's how I pay my rent.
Yeah. Masters of Our Domain, a podcast which is supposedly about Seinfeld. I do it with Phoebe Roy. It's really, Matt's been on it. If you want to hear more Matt,
I've been on it.
Yeah, Alice has been on it.
I've been on it.
Hey, Riley's been on it. I reckon Dan will be on it at some point. I reckon that's statistically likely. What is podcasting but incest?
Yeah, you keep selecting statistically the best podcast guests. It just happens to be all the people that you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
I'm Milo de la Pedophilie, and I'm the CEO of Sotheby's.
I'm going to clip that. I'm going to clip you saying that.
That's an NFT now.
That's an NFT. I'm going to mint that. And I'm going to sell it for 1,000 Ethereum. And if you don't want that displayed, you're going to have to buy it for 1,000 Ethereum.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
All right. That was just a gift for people who stayed for the promos. All right. That's later, everybody.
Later.
Bye.